Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We're back. I feel like I haven't seen you for ages, Marky Marks.
I know. It does seem like a long time. Although what's really weird is when the episodes come out now, I go, God, we recorded that like 5 years ago.
I know, yeah. I'm sort of looking at what we've got in the tank. We've got quite a lot on one channel, the main channel, but we... No, wait. Have we got loads on the main... Yeah, we've got loads to go on the main channel.
Yeah.
So we're a month ahead there.
That's right.
But on the Patreon... We're having to restock the tank, so to speak.
We are always catching up on that Patreon, boy, aren't we? It's like a runaway train. We just cannot quite bring it under control.
So it's like, but we do kind of, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that we are currently in the middle of still COVID epidemic,
yep.
higher deaths than anywhere else in Europe. And also... we're in a situation where there's a massive kind of groundswell of support for Black Lives Matter, and also, you know, the murder and execution of young black men by policemen. So there's riots happening all over the world on that. So we don't know what's going to be happening this time in a month's time. So I'm genuinely worried about what the hell we're going to be saying here that's going to be incredibly either prescient, problematic, or pissing.
And do you know what I actually find is, because things are changing so quickly and events are so massive,
yeah,
I think if you listen to like the WrestleMe that comes out today, you'll just be going, I mean, are they not going to mention anything about Black Lives Matter?
No.
And you become that thing of just going, I'm looking like I'm ignoring big events.
Yes.
I am not.
I am a
person from the past. The
yes.
best way to listen to WrestleMe
it's
now...
It's a time capsule of what we would, of what two middle-class men were doing a month ago.
Exactly. The best way to listen to WrestleMe is basically to not listen to any more until the end of the year. And then on Christmas Day, basically go to yourself, well, imagine that this was recorded in the 80s.
Yes.
And then just sit down and just go, oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
Absolutely fine.
Listen, they're both alive on the podcast. How amazing.
He's still got his one leg. He loves that heroin.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. There is something funny about, I mean, I have another thing that runs almost near constantly now, which is the Patreon newsletter.
Oh.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, I follow all of the big news stories on Twitter every day, and I would say over the last month or so, there has been no real wrestling. So it's not like there's obscure matches taking place or, you know, some great legends coming out. It's just WWE and AEW doing their empty arena stuff,
right?
But every single news story. We'll have about 50 stories that come out of it.
Yes.
And because every single news story is coming out every day, it's just like one of those snowflake diagrams. You know, when it keeps on fractaling.
You're like a man like trying to find the killer with like red string and photographs.
My life is, it feels a bit like Memento, where I listen to old WrestleMe's and I sort of go, this does not seem of the day. And then I'm looking at Twitter and then I'm watching something from 1990. Yes. And I sort of go, is this what it's like to be mad? It's really, really hard work.
But then I go on kind of on the WWE Network. Mark has for 2 years provided me with a WWE login. Don't tell anyone. I think we're allowed to share, aren't we?
I have a thing that I actually accidentally paid for 2 years worth of the network under two different accounts.
Right.
And I just didn't really notice when the emails came in. I'd sort of go, oh, there's that one that says it's done. So, I mean, look, WWE, you can go back through the records.
Yeah,
and check. you can see that my Mark.Haynes account and my London 1860 account, I paid double. I only have so many eyes.
You've been watching a lot of In Your House shows, I've noticed.
I have, yeah. Yeah, that's also been for the newsletter.
Right,
so
okay.
They're bringing back NXT. They're doing an In Your House because the idea, of course, is, you're in your house.
Yeah, nice.
The wrestlers right. very much not in their houses.
No.
Very much back at work.
Right, okay,
But they're doing that, and so they put up all of the in your houses. Are they called In Your House? Yeah, In Your House. It doesn't sound
in
right.
The house.
Yeah, I am
in a house.
I am from the house, and they put all of those up, and they've not been on the network before. And what they have
who
in
would
them,
wrestle in a house like this?
They have just matches that are weird and people who missed out on WrestleMania. So I sort of did some flicking through to find weird and strange matches. And actually, the Patreon newsletter this month, I talk about some of the strange ones.
Right,
there's a big section about the Executioner. Terry Gordy.
Okay.
And that is it's wrestling. A sad and tragic story.
Well, if nothing else, that is a great advert for the Patreon. Patreon.com/WrestleMe. Is WrestlePod or WrestleMe? I think it's WrestleMe, isn't it? Patreon.com/WrestleMe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a link on our Twitter, which is at WrestleMePod, so you can go through with that. Okay. Let me tell you as well, just you know, you might be sort of like, oh, I don't know whether to join or not. Very high retention rate. Very high retention rate.
Barely anyone. No one's left.
I would say, I think the first month we might have had one person leave. I think the second month, three people left. And let me tell you, when they leave, instantly replaced by more. By more. You're not missed. You are missed.
It's very patreon.com/WrestleMe. That's what it is. Yes. At $8 a month, you get, well, you get a exclusive weekly Patreon WrestleMe show. Sometimes we give you a little extra one as well with email specials and stuff like that.
Yep.
Weird and wonderful stuff from both in and outside the WWE. We've got WCW shows at the moment, what we're doing. All four normal. The ones you're hearing now, the WrestleMania shows, you get them all concatenated, glued together, so you can listen to the whole thing in 1, 2.5, 3 hour chunk.
I mean, like a normal wrestling podcast.
Yes,
you get
exactly.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
It's about the same running time as an actual WrestleMania show.
I have actually started occasionally dipping into other wrestling podcasts.
Oh, okay.
So I've been listening to some of the big ones.
Oh, are we going to have some massive changes? Are you going to be ringing in the changes?
I'll tell you what, Pete, we have put as much content in this opening as all of the ones that are quite big. They are some of the single worst pieces of art
media.
And broadcasting that I think ever existed. And this is not some kind of angle. We're not suddenly going to be doing a Comrade Thompson doubleheader. He has made it clear he's no interest in doing that.
No.
He really doesn't need to. But I do find them very, very hard to listen to. So yeah, I'm doing the very thing now that I hate in them. So
right.
I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to say the word WrestleMania, and then we're going to say WrestleMania 29.
Right.
WrestleMania 29. Yeah, very good.
And we begin.
Oh, I do actually just want to say one thing quickly, which is thanks to Will Fuller, who is one of the patrons who sent us a load of vintage WWF magazines.
Oh, I've just been having a leaf through.
Oh, they're amazing.
Beautiful.
And we are going to, I think we're going to do a little special show just on the things we got there. Worth saying, I mean, WWF magazines, they are absolutely state of the art.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And from their sort of first arrival in about 86, 87, they had the single best photography of any sports medium that you could possibly imagine.
Right.
The other thing you'll notice is absolutely no outside advertisers. There's about three people who are interested in doing it, something which we've found with this podcast as well. So it is full of the WWE's merchandising department trying to sell their own stuff.
Oh,
and
it's
amazing.
Is like
magic.
The cake pans you can buy to make your own racist cake.
Yes, there's a big boss man
there's
cake.
A big boss man cake.
Oh, what does it taste
cake.
Of? Oh, snowflake tears.
And also WF Superstars ice cream bars.
Oh,
it looks
classic.
Like a kind of posh Magnum, but with Bret the Hitman Hart drawn on it. It's wonderful.
Do you know what it's got? It's got that sort of soft, I presume it's soft, a soft, like, you know, cookie. And I always, as a child, imagined that would be crisp and delicious. And when you're in Britain growing up in the early 90s, we didn't have things like Magnum.
No.
We didn't have things like ice cream bars.
We had a fruit pasta lolly.
Yep.
Calippo. Yeah, we'd maybe have a Calippo.
Calippo was for the slightly older children.
Mr. Freeze. Yes. The Mr. Freeze 5p lollies.
And those little square ones, the triangular ones as well, which were in paper, which were if you were a child of the 70s like me, you had more of those.
Right.
And
where did those mousses go that you used to have in the, like a stack of mousses in a carrier bag in the freezer or whatever?
Those slightly sort
go?
Of over whipped things, you know?
It was like Cremola foam kind of whipped up. It was like Angel Delight in a in a mousse pot.
I bought my kid a creme caramel the other day, and that gave me a proper rush back to those creme caramels that came in those ridged.
Off.
Yeah. Oh man,
they've not changed.
No,
I just noticed that under lockdown, my hair was approaching man bun territory. Mm. So I bleached it, and now I realise I've got Mr. Perfect.
Yes, you have.
that is unnecessary.
You look very much like a lot of wrestlers.
Yes,
obviously, the CM Punk thing, but that's not changing.
Well, you
look very much at the minute like Steve Corino.
Right, I'm going to Google Steve Corino.
Yeah, Steve Corino is like a dad bod version of Pete Donaldson.
I'll take it. To be fair, he's got he's around still now. He's got spectacles. He looks a bit across between me and Arne Anderson.
The absolute dream.
But, yeah, no. But we are going to be talking about CM Punk. He does some terrible things in this show.
Yes, doesn't he? Doesn't he? This is also, you know, interestingly, this is going to be his last full year, really.
Really?
So this is his last WrestleMania.
Is that true?
He's never performed at another WrestleMania.
Holy moly.
Maybe he never will again. Mm. He has made some...
That would be a bad move.
Oh, it would be stupid.
Terrible.
So stupid.
Idiot.
I mean, and not for the WWE, not even really for the fans. That would be a terrible decision for CM Punk, because there is a lot of money on the table, which he is being surly, and if I may say, like a big teenager.
His comic, we all have got a comic collection, we're all very proud of it, but we always oversell how much value that's in it.
Exactly, exactly.
Right?
The other thing is, if you have to sell your comic collection, people know that you need to sell your comic collection, and that affects prices accordingly. Very much so. We're going to be looking at WrestleMania 29. Mm. This one didn't really have a catchphrase with it.
Mm.
It's just they do NYNJ. Because it was taking place not in New York, where they wanted it to, but in one of the big arenas in New Jersey.
Right.
And the idea was you commute. So they did this thing, rather than saying it's New Jersey, it was NYNJ.
Right.
And there's a sort of funny thing about this, where they really push, instead of like the wrestlers for WrestleMania 29, they're all about the location.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
So bloody weird. And these names from the past that sort of come up, Chris Christie.
Yes.
The governor, he's involved quite a lot in this one.
Well, he gets to do the opener. Basically, the opener that people like Freddie Blassie had always done,
yes.
You know, where they're like, you know, today it's the parade of champions. And Chris Christie comes out, who's the governor of New York at the time. And he does a thing where he ends with him just saying, like, along the lines of, this is my New York, this is my America, and this is WrestleMania. It's like, what? New York is not going to be wrestling at this.
He fared very well. I mean, most people in politics fare pretty well when they're in the leadership position.
Yeah.
When a big storm hits or
that's
you
right.
know, riots, you get a bit of an official bump in your figures. He left office after like having like 74% approval rating or something crazy like that. He left office as the least popular governor in his state's history.
Did he?
He was. Remember that guy who was during the government shutdown?
Yeah.
He was spotted relaxing on a closed beach.
Yeah.
So the whole government had closed all the beaches, but he, because he had a house on the beach, he was spotted by a private plane. It was like a time, photograph of the year of Chris Christie with his big fat belly, just kind of sat on a sun lounger.
I didn't realise he was popular, see, because the only thing I know about him is obviously that this follows on the back of Superstorm Sandy.
Yes.
Which I think we called just Hurricane Sandy
over here.
Never heard the phrase Superstorm
Sandy.
I can't even Super say Storm it, but I mean, it's difficult to say. I don't understand why. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, he died in... everyone having a laugh. They just showed devastation of New York. Again, one of those stories that I had no recollection of this particularly happening. And that's obviously...
Yeah.
I'd heard of Hurricane Sandy, but I didn't remember that there was devastation in New York.
I think it killed like 60 people. It was quite a robust front, let's say.
When they showed that footage, I was a bit like, they've done well not to have either doing it where Ryback is smashing through it, or they'd have that thing of Big Show just looking sad and shaking his head. You know,
out of all of the solemn wrestlers, I think Big Show does the best weepy eye kind of solemn.
He does.
Face.
I think it's because when he does it, you're a bit like, even a giant's heart has broken.
Yeah.
You know, not like normal people with normal emotions. He is so big, his emotions are smaller. Obviously, that's how it works. But even a giant's heart breaks. I mean, each tier crashing to the floor, yeah. knocking down another house. It's just too big. It was a funny thing, because when they bring out the governor, they bring him out with a group of Special Olympians. Mm. And when that happened, I thought, ah, oh, okay, he's not very popular at this point, because that's why you put the Special Olympians with him, because who is going to boo the governor when he's standing with the Special Olympians?
Yes.
You'd sort of go, will the Special Olympians understand that the boos are directed at that guy or him? And I thought, you coward. I also thought, good play. Well done. Clever. Canny.
He has attended over 141 Bruce Springsteen concerts.
Has he really? Yeah, yeah, so. And they're really long Bruce Springsteen concerts.
He's
exhausted. Nightmare.
He's put in a shift there, hasn't he?
I know that he did. He ran for... He's a Republican.
Yeah.
Hence why he's being featured on a WrestleMania. They would not be having many Democrats opening up a WrestleMania.
He was... I can't remember what position he was up for, but it's pretty high up in Trump's government. But
he
I
did.
He
actually, stood... For he went for the presidential nomination.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, in the year that Trump got it. And he basically, as soon as Trump, you know, became the clear favourite, he stepped back and gave Trump his support. So he has been working in that administration ever since, I think. What a nice man. That's a nice thing. I mean, again, you know, we talked about the time, how it's different and everything, but it's that funny thing of watching him back then. And actually, while we were watching him on television, he's probably sitting in a room somewhere just going, this is all going terrible. I hope I don't get murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Is it a bad look to... I mean, obviously, the storm has devastated and killed people, but, like, is it a good move or a bad move to appear at WrestleMania? I don't know what the optics are. I've watched too much wrestling.
I think it's popular, isn't it? Yeah. And you're going, look, I'm a man of the people.
Yeah.
But I will also have my wall of Special Olympians in case I've misjudged this. I bet he's ringing the Special Olympics now and saying, look, I've borrowed some before. I do need some athletes now.
Just give me a few athletes. Yeah.
Things are going very bad. I'll need at least 16. rude. WrestleMania 29, big crowd. Drew 80,676 fans. That is also a disputed figure.
Yeah.
People are a bit they tend to do the big. Yeah. That made it the third highest attended event, brackets all disputed, after WrestleMania 32 and WrestleMania 3. And this then became the highest grossing live event in WWE history. And actually, this happens every year because ticket prices go up. So every single WrestleMania tends to make more.
If it's a sellout, yeah.
And this is also, I mean, they're really part of the period now where people are not coming to WrestleMania particularly to see the card.
Mm.
They are going because it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. If you're going to go to one show, you're going to go to see WrestleMania, the big show. You're going to see all the stars.
Oh, it's a holiday.
You're going to enjoy the thing,
exactly. It's a holiday and you go and watch a bit of basketball.
They will, apart from this year, when what I say is completely untrue, they will never have a WrestleMania that really dips below that core level.
Mm.
And what it slightly talks of is there are only 100,000 tickets that WWE can ever sell. That is basically a ceiling. They have not managed to shift that in, what, since WrestleMania 17?
Mm.
It's always been, and I know that's what a stadium seats, but that seems to be the top end of what they can ever do. That seems to be a ceiling of their popularity.
Yeah.
Fascinatingly sort of weird thing when you go, all it is 100,000 fans.
Yeah.
No one else.
But also, I guess, I mean, they do it over a couple of days now and everything else tied in, and they've obviously made a colossal amount of money. But, I mean, stadiums can only be a certain size unless you're going down to, like, those weird Brazilian ones.
I don't think
120 other ones in North Korea or Iran.
Yeah, exactly. but those don't tend to be ticket sales. They tend to be
you are.
But, you know, there's that funny thing of, I don't think many people go to WrestleMania weekend and not go to WrestleMania. I don't think people sort of go. I couldn't get tickets, but I'll go and see the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I did go to World Cup 2010 and didn't go to any matches. Just went to Johannesburg and just hung out for a week.
You must have gone to did you have the option of going to any matches?
No, because I think England, obviously England weren't part of the situation there. So when we got there, we just went there for like the final and just went to a fan park. It was such a better idea than actually paying, you know, nearly a grand to go and watch the final. But my word, it was so much better just going to a fan park.
We went on a family holiday to Spain in 1982 when they had World Cup. And it was one of those things that, you know, no one in our family had worked out. They just had no idea. And I do remember very, very clearly going past a stadium. And back in those days, of course, they weren't like the stadiums are now. They weren't on the edges of cities or anything.
Mm.
It was just in the middle of, you know, whichever place we were in. Probably, I don't know, I can't even remember. We used to go camping, so God knows where. And I remember being past one of those stadiums when there was a match on. And the stadium outside, it was dead. There was no one around. All the shops were shut. And just the noise of the stadium, it just felt like, you know, you were the last people on.
Oh, it's amazing. And that's a World Cup match.
Yeah.
I've never been to a World Cup match. Have I been to a World Cup? No, I don't think I have.
You haven't been to one?
No, I should go to. I should really do that, shouldn't I?
It'd be amazing.
Before I stick my neb in WrestleMania.
I was about to say, it'd be amazing if you end up going to a WrestleMania before you go to a World Cup match. This seems like, you know.
Am I doing? No, I haven't been. Why would I have been to a World Cup match?
Been to a qualifier?
I've been to a Euros match.
Yeah.
I've been to a Euros match.
That's a little bit like having been to SummerSlam.
Yes, exactly. I've done SummerSlam, but I've never done. Yeah.
Amazing. The big pay-per-view buy this one, over a million.
Mm.
Another ceiling that they don't really seem to break. But it was about 200,000 fewer people than the year before.
Mm.
The year before had been built up around this once-in-a-lifetime Rock and John Cena match. This time we're getting twice-in-a-lifetime, we're getting the same match again. But what it talks of is, it talks of a slight staleness in the product.
Yes.
And I think WWE were aware of that, because what this WrestleMania looks like to me is it looks like it's a reworking of the WCW's Great American Bash 1990 New Revolution. And what you have here is you have loads of the established stars versus up-and-comers. And it really, really works. Mm. So you get people like, I mean, it's a bad example to start with, but Fandango, who actually makes his debut at this WrestleMania against Chris Jericho. You get The Shield taking on Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show. Three people who have become very stale. And what you get there, which is exciting, is you get the new blood coming in wanting to prove themselves. Mm. And you get the old guard going, I am not ready to give up my healthy pay packet to these three upstarts. And so what you end up getting is everyone working much, much harder. You've also had like 4 years of Undertaker. He's done Shawn Michaels 1, Shawn Michaels 2, Triple H 1, Triple H 2. And so finally they're giving him someone who hasn't been around for 25 years. They're giving him CM Punk, who's the last person to be the world champion, apart from your Rock and your Cena, who are, again, are stuck in that main event. The most glaring, obvious thing when you watch this WrestleMania back is you know that Rock would never, ever be anything but the main event. But you realise that this was the last opportunity to make that decision of saying the streak is the main event of WrestleMania.
Right.
And this, watching this Undertaker CM Punk match and then the Rock and John Cena, the CM Punk and Undertaker match would have been a much, much better
main event.
Send everyone home. I mean, they had no idea the Rock and Cena match would be it was just very flat.
It was just very, I've seen this.
Exactly.
Well, at least once.
I found it so difficult to watch the main event. I had to watch it twice because it just like skirted over me. I could not take in anything that was happening. And, you know, it was a funny thing having watched so much of like The Last Ride, the documentary they've done about Undertaker. When you see him here, where he's fast, he's quick, he is agile, he is strong, he isn't wearing a Blue Lives Matter t-shirt.
Yes.
Everything about it was really exciting. And it's a funny WrestleMania in that respect, where all of the new blood that's coming through is so exciting. Mm. And right at the top of it, you have a match that you literally saw last year in the same position. Interesting. So what did you think of it overall? How did you think it sticks up from the modern stuff that we've seen?
I think you're right. I think the reaction to what came the year before, I had seen a lot of, like I would say, a lot of this before. I enjoyed the Miz's fall down the card even further.
Yeah.
I think the narrative around the Cena Rock thing was tedious. The way the denouement of that match was fucking ridiculous. We'll come on to that.
Mm.
And so that didn't speak to me. But, you know, I'd seen Cena and Undertaker, obviously the standout match. It was enjoyable. I'd never seen The Shield before. And obviously we are very much couched in the idea that a militarized police force, not a great look, in the middle of the demonstrations. Was uncomfortable viewing in that particular space. But I'd never seen Seth Rollins and
Dean Ambrose
and these characters. I'd never seen these guys wrestle before. So it's nice to see them appear. Because, they're new guys. There's men with beards. There's there's hipsters. The hipsters are coming. So this is like literally the hipsters are coming.
Yeah.
And you don't have to look like a giant. You don't have to look like a big muscle man. You can just be fucking good. So for me, it seemed to be like, there's a bit of a change of the guard. And I'm more interested in this product than I am of John Cena and how he came up.
100%. I always talk about how stale the last few years have been. Mm. But actually, only when you watch this, you go, God, yeah, I wasn't just wrong
about watching this
in the modern era and just going, oh, it's very boring. Mm. You just watch this year and you go, okay, no, it wasn't me. It was then. That was a stale period.
Mm.
And you can only see that when they start bringing in. I was trying to think what you bring in to make something unstale.
Water
isn't it?
Just leave it
sprinkle
in that,
some water on it and then go, Presto! Excellent. I can now serve this at my bakery, the bakery chain Paul. I don't think they do rotten stuff, but I mean, no. You know.
When Paul
but,
did
but
Paul
I hit... also think all shops probably do.
Yeah, I think they, I think didn't Paul hit the wall? Paul hit the wall.
Paul hit the wall.
Because I didn't
manger en danger. If I can, yeah,
write that down for the.
I'll tell you. I mean, this is very much. I will tell you this. I mean, Percy Ingle, if you live in East London, is basically the Greggs of East London.
Right.
And Percy Ingle has been around for years and years and years, and they are one of the few businesses that have seemed to survive everything. They basically started after the Blitz, and now they've just gone, okay, we've had enough now, we're all right. Done. They've just done a rebrand, which was trying to make it cool, and that was a disaster. But they've all gone. So all I want to say is, joking aside, the Pret-a-Manger Danger and the Paul hit the wall, let me just say this, RIP Percy Ingle Bakeries.
What was your favourite product from Percy Ingle Bakeries?
Do you know what I loved? They used to do frozen product
fish, so you could it's really weird,
yeah.
Eels.
But you could buy their uncooked sausage rolls that were frozen yourself, and you could stick them in your freezer, but they also did a bread and butter pudding that was amazing.
Oh, hello.
Now you'd think, because they haven't used any fire, that the sausage rolls that were frozen would be cheaper than the hot ones that you could buy individually. You'd be wrong. Very thick cardboard box.
Oh, right, okay.
But probably the reason that it must have bitten into the profits.
I didn't feel bad when Paul went to the wall, because what's the posh name for a vanilla slice?
Un custard suisse.
It's like got a petit déjeuner.
Oh, yeah, pat crème.
Something like that.
Petit silly.
And I said, can I have that, please? And I said it as best I could. And he went, it is a... And I was like, I'm can't wait till Paul goes to the wall. Pret-a-manger and danger.
It's a little bit like if someone British said, I've opened up a cafe in Paris. And you went, what's it called? And he went, why, it's called Pierre. You go, you sound fucking... But that's what they did. I know it's not exact translation. They didn't call it Peter. But
onion.
But yeah. But coming over and just going, what is it called? It's in the little maison where you get the beautiful tea from around the world. It's called Paul. Paul. It's called Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew the Butchers.
I have a bit of that. Well, speaking of things not being where they belong, the Statue of Liberty in this particular set.
Yep.
It sort of sits on top of the... there's a big lighting rig over the top of the ring, and then on top there's a Statue of Liberty. It reminded me, if anyone has ever visited Leicester or lived in Leicester, there was on top of a... just near the Saw River in Leicester, they put in... I think it was like in the 1920s, they put a massive... Well, not as big as, but...
Mm.
Like a 10-foot tall Statue of Liberty near Filbert Street, and it was just on an old kind of milliner's factory, or like, you know, clothing factory, because obviously they make a lot of clothes there. They just had this massive Statue of Liberty, and I was like, why the hell was that ever installed? And I was like, it reminded me of the one in Leicester, and so I googled it, and it used to stand on top of Leonard's Liberty Shoe Factory on the way to Filbert Street. The factory was demolished in 2003, but it got moved to a gyratory, the Swan Gyratory, a large roundabout. But hilariously, it got installed by local stonemason Joseph Morkan. It was the result of a visit to New York in 1919 by the directors of Leonard's Shoe Factory. So basically, they just came back from America, like a little trip, and went, you would not believe what I saw out there. We have to get one of those.
It's a lady wearing a sheet. And on her head, she's got a knuckle duster. It's amazing.
Bring us your huddled masses, because we need cheap labour. We need cheap, cheap labour.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
Por qué?
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Oh, sorry, did you say it was a lighting rig above the ring? Yes.
It was.
Yes, I did, Mark. Oh, half right.
Oh, what is it?
Well, this was actually...
Ah, you muffed it up by coughing.
I was so excited. That was excitement, and I paid the price. It was... this was the fifth WrestleMania to be held in the open air.
Right.
But it was the first one that took place in a cold weather city.
Yes, it was... Yeah, it was quite chilly. Like, all of the reviews that people said was sort of said that the actual temperature actually affected it.
50 degrees. It was and thing, not, and that's not Celsius, obviously. I mean, that would have been fine. That would have been piquant. But the they actually had a heating rig above the ring, and they installed 5 electric furnaces under the ring, which blasted up hot air.
Oh.
So the wrestlers, once they got into the ring, lovely and warm, toasty. Everyone else sitting outside.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
10 Celsius. It's 10 Celsius.
That is
amazing.
Cold.
That is chilly, isn't
that
it?
That is really cold.
You'd need a lot of hooch.
Yeah.
Like,
wouldn't
that's
you?
That's like, and it's 4 hours. Well, it'll be more than that, won't it? It'll be longer than that.
Yeah, much longer.
The broadcast was 4 hours.
They'd always sort of said in the early days, I mean, after they did SummerSlam 92, they never came back to the UK.
Yeah.
And that was because we at that time did not have stadia that could have enough seats.
Yeah.
So you'd have Wembley Arena and, you know, that was pretty much it. You'd have to do it at a football ground. And at the time, all football grounds were open. So with our weather, they just never, ever pulled the trigger on doing another big show.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would change now. I mean, they do the O2 all the time for Raw and things like that. But there is talk about there's going to be in the next year or so. And whether COVID has totally demolished this idea, I think is probably quite likely. But they were talking about one of the big four pay-per-views coming from the UK.
Right.
And that all looked like it was about to happen, but that looked like it was about to happen 2 months before COVID hit.
The world changed.
They have no interest in the rest of the world now. They are going to just be an American company.
Really?
I think they are going to absolutely pull everything back. In America, they have political sway. And so things like they can run their shows. And what they've ended up doing is by going all over the world, they've got these pockets which are cut off where they have no power and they have to follow laws.
Yes.
And they have no interest in doing that.
Not in Qatar.
No, very true.
You've probably got the ear.
This WrestleMania is also notable for a couple of things. It's the first WrestleMania, I think, of all time. I might be slightly wrong on that, but there's no Divas matches.
I did not even bloody notice it because the level of Divas matches, I think I almost said Qatar instead of Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is the blood money show.
It's the blood money show.
Go suck a blood covered Saudi dick, you dork. That was CM Punk to The Miz.
Nice. Yeah. Like it. I'm just glad that The Miz is getting his. Why am I rhyming all this time? I didn't even notice the lack of Divas.
Yeah, I also saw that there was a reference to the future WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, Billie Kay, the Australian, being at this WrestleMania. Now, I think that was one of my facts for last year's WrestleMania as well. And they didn't say, oh, she's been to a load. So one of these is wrong. please go back and do your own research.
That's applicable.
One of the things that I think we found in the current climate, which is that, you know, the terrible sort of things going on in the States, sometimes you've got to go and educate yourself, yeah? So all I'm saying is people out there, oh, did Billie Kay go to this one? Don't listen to me. Go and find out yourself. Read a book.
I am retweeting videos that I have no idea where they've come from. I don't know what year they've come from. It might have been like the Arab Spring. It might have been this. It might have been but I'm retweeting them.
Yeah.
Because they're interesting and someone's weaved some weird narrative that works for me.
Exactly.
It's like this guy getting arrested and then and the guy's angry because he's getting arrested and the police are putting handcuffs on him and this guy is going, you are fucking idiots. You are both fucking knuckleheads, Stone Age idiots.
Yeah.
And then they find out that he's FBI.
I know, it's
and
great,
and that's a sexy
it?
Narrative, but I don't think it was true. But who writes these fucking tweets about this guy was FBI?
Well, I mean, all I'm doing is going online and someone says, yeah, Billie Kay was there at WrestleMania. And I go, that'll do for me.
Tick.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, come on, look, people, if you're going to write about whether Billie Kay is at WrestleMania 28 or 29,
sort your shit out.
Fucking source it.
And like, I'm not being funny, like, wrestling fans, certainly in America in their bedrooms, will be the ones who are a little bit more likely to believe a conspiracy theory,
oh,
for example.
Yes,
so
very much so.
They should not be. They should want the truth.
It is 100% worth saying as well that over the years, WWE has proved themselves to not be at all an inclusive and progressive organisation.
Yes.
I think it's 100% worth saying that at this juncture.
Oh, yeah.
They have a dismal track record of equality. Mm. They treat people as a whole very badly.
Yes.
I think there is, when they put up their little thing saying, you know, the WWE deplores racism in all its forms.
Right.
It didn't take long.
It takes about 10 seconds.
Here are 7,000 images of, for example, your CEO, Triple H, wearing blackface.
Yeah.
I mean, it did not take any time at all.
No, and it doesn't. And it's like, even, you know, Randy Orton was applauded for posting the Black Lives Matter, but I can't remember what he actually wrote.
Well, his big thing was someone had said, again, all lives matter. And Randy Orton has said, yeah, well, you know, you can say that, but the reality is, until Black Lives Matter, all lives don't matter because Black lives don't matter.
Yeah.
So he was saying that's why it's Black Lives Matter. And people were going, I stan the king.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
5 seconds and you've got a video clip of him saying the N-word.
Tell you what.
On a video game stream.
Last week, there was a thing where Braun Strowman had gone fishing. And he'd gone fishing for grouper, which are those huge 7 feet tall, very simple fish.
Sized.
Yeah, they are. They're vast. They're like buses. And they come up and you go, isn't it big? And you go, great. And you go, can I eat it? And they go, no, they're inedible. And you go, oh, it's just like that. You might as well just go out and try and fish a duvet out of a canal, right? But I've seen some shows about them before, and they are, I think they're on YouTube. They're astonishing fish. They're just amazing. There's a picture of Braun Strowman getting one of these grouper.
Right.
You know, and their mouths are like the size of a bicycle wheel. Mm. They're astonishing. And up it comes. And there was a guy behind him helping with the line. And the guy is a man of colour. I don't know if he was African-American because I don't know where they are necessarily fishing for grouper.
Right.
Now, Randy Orton immediately weighed in going, Braun, aren't you going to tag in Bobby Lashley in your
oh,
thing?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, people were like, well, oh, fucking hell. You know, we know he said the N-word before. Now you've got this thing where he's saying there's a black guy. So aren't you going to, you know. He later sort of said, no, I genuinely thought it was Bobby Lashley. I can't prove you didn't, can I? But again, it's a pattern of behaviour. Right. So when, again, like you're saying about sourcing, when Randy Orton says, I do, you know, all Black Lives Matter, and everyone is like, yes, yes,
yeah.
yes. You're a bit like, well, I mean, he's got it right this time, but I tell you what, 15 other occasions, it's not been so fucking good.
Yeah, he's not hit the dartboard, has he, really?
Not even close. In fact, he didn't even aim for the dartboard.
No.
I believe he aimed for a Chinese man. You know, weird stuff.
Yeah.
Look, this is a big issue, and this is a stupid podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move on to talking about a match that didn't happen. There was one match that didn't happen on this card that was supposed to.
Mm.
And it was an 8-person mixed tag team match, which was Tons of Funk, the tag team of Brodus Clay and Tensei, formerly Albert. Matt Bloom, his name is. He'd come back from Japan.
Mm.
So for some reason they went, oh, he's come back from Japan. He is now a Japanese warlord. And they had like kanji written on him and stuff in a sort of nod to Hakushi, who was a sort of genuine Japanese performer in the WWE in the mid-90s and very good. And he came out with loads of writing all over his body and looked really good.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything with him. He was Japanese and small, so they were like, squash that motherfucker. Yeah. But Tensei comes out in his, you know, thing, and they're just like, this is great. And they forget that he's not Japanese, because like all Japanese stars, they just go, he's never going to get over, beat him all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, it's that convincing. So you have Tons of Fun with the Funkadactyls, Naomi and Cameron, versus the Rhodes, Team Rhodes Scholars, they were called. That was Cody Rhodes and a wrestler called Damian Sandow.
Oh, Rhodes got dropped.
We have never seen Damian Sandow. I think he's always been in pre-shows and battle royales and things. If this isn't his first WrestleMania, which it might be, I think we may see him in tiny little bits coming up later. And they were going to be teaming with the Bella Twins, Nikki and Bella. Hall of Famers, worth saying. I do like the Bella Twins. I always thought they were rubbish. And I've grown to admire and not be impressed by them particularly over the years. But the match didn't take place because of running time.
Yes.
Now, everyone managed.
We're doing patron shows where they can pack in 3 hours, 20 matches.
Yes.
And they can't fit in like these guys.
Now, I looked at this and I was like, oh, yeah, I can understand how that happens. Because obviously, you know, if you think about every match runs an extra minute or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, all the matches in this are quite short until you get to this last third. And what happens is, after the Undertaker CM Punk, I paused it.
Yeah.
And I was like, hang on, we're only just over halfway through. There's an hour and a half left. I checked the thing and I'm like, there's two matches. And you see the magic name, Triple H.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, a man, he's like a gas. He will inhabit any space and more that you've got.
And again, this is 8 people who are going to come out at WrestleMania and have a WrestleMania moment. And Triple H is like, but I want to go longer. I mean, I know I've done this, 15 times before. And because I now am married into the company, I will be able to do this for as long as I like. But I just want to go a bit longer. And so that match gets bumped. They have it on Raw the next night. No one cares. I mean, no one would have cared had it been on WrestleMania. If I get a little bit less Triple H in a WrestleMania, That is never a bad thing.
Actually, he's not a gas. He's like, have you ever poured gallium on aluminium?
I don't know what gallium is.
It's a bit like mercury, but I don't think it gives you cancer, but if you handle it, it's almost liquid at room temperature.
Okay.
You put it in your hand, it turns into a liquid. It's like mercury. So it's really exciting. But if you put it on aluminium, it soaks into the aluminium. Non-oxidized aluminium. Mm. It soaks into aluminium.
I mean, don't tell people exactly what to do. I'm worried about where this is going.
You want to melt a lock that you might want to get an access to something. But it does work on locks. An aluminium lock, it will work. It will work if you pour.
I'm going to do the joke about you breaking in, but then I will actually say this is how it works. Continue.
You put it on. It has this fantastic property, fascinating property, kind of like soaking itself into aluminium. And it just kind of melts it, breaks it down, it turns it into this kind of mush. And so if you put it on top of like a Coke can, within seconds it will start to eat into the can.
Oh.
And you'll start to push it, but then it won't just kind of like stay where you've put it. It will absorb into the and kind of I'm not a chemistry expert, I'm not an expert on anything, but it just kind of produces this different liquidy sort of thing when it comes
with aluminium. The expert's voice to say,
to say that
I'm not an expert. Now, ladies and gentlemen,
I couldn't find my keys for 3 minutes today.
I believe that's because you poured a load of gallium over them.
It was just a puddle. I'd absolutely Hannah Montana'd it.
There was a kid at my school who apparently was a very, very...
Alex kid? Who was the water one?
What's
Hannah
that?
Montana, was she water? It was water.
Is she water?
She was like water.
What's
she could
water?
Turn into water.
Hannah Montana could turn into water.
She could turn into water.
I thought she was like a detective or something. I don't know what Hannah Montana
Alex
did.
Alex kid? No, he was in Miracle World. Alex something or other.
I don't know the children
Alex
who turn
Mack,
into water.
The secret...
Who are the water children?
The secret word of Alex Mack, is she thing?
I don't know what
that
is.
She turned into water.
Pete,
she turned into water.
43. When the secret world with Alex Mack was on, I was having sex with women.
And they were as dry as a bun.
I used gallium as lube. Very strange.
Oh, dearie me.
Oh, man. Well, that was delightful.
Good. Now, first match. I don't know.
Yeah.
We lost a match with great Wrestling Dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And we also don't see on the network the opening match, which was The Miz going for the Intercontinental Championship against Wade Barrett.
Yes.
This wasn't put on the network. They do show it a bit later. I don't think it went out on WrestleMania either, which seems a bit mad because it was only short. It's like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
But they do show two moves. They show Wade Barrett doing two moves to Miz and then Miz winning with the figure four and celebrating. It gets a big pop, but it's also because it's the first match of WrestleMania. The crowd are there. You know, you've seen
just
a title change. Yeah, it's very much a warm-up. Now, let's not forget that 2 years ago, Miz was in the main event.
Yes.
Now, the following year, I think he's in a tag team with Big Show, or that was the previous, whatever it was. The important thing is he's not made the card 2 years after he main evented.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just I'm not even sure that's ever happened in another WrestleMania
when someone's been injury free. Like when someone's been able to wrestle, they've not made.
I mean, you know, you King Kong Bundy does WrestleMania 2, and then at WrestleMania 3, he is in a tag team match with Hillbilly Jim and the Midgets. It's not a brilliant.
No,
you know, I wouldn't say it was an upward curve.
No, it's not even a sideways move. But
the reality
a
is
massive arrest.
He wasn't on the card, but not deemed good enough to actually have as a thing that people would pay to see on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Miz has also sort of, his hair's gone a bit lank because I think he's losing the will to live. And he's got a sort of beard, but his beard looks like he's just got Bisto granules and sort of just like padded them on. And it's slightly sort of, I mean, it didn't break my heart. It broke my heart that I had to sit through the main event he was in at WrestleMania 27 when it was so patently wrong.
Mm.
And you see this and you sort of go, yes, it is. It wasn't the making of him in some ways. You know, it didn't help him at all.
Yeah.
And it should never have happened. It was Miz abuse. he was groomed and then, you know, he's ended up here.
Never leave your Miz unattended in a hot car. Because we will smash a window.
let's crack straight through. I mean, we've done really well today because we've got to the first match. I'm really pleased about that. Which
well
is better than we've done recently. It's The Shield versus The Big Show, Randy Orton and Sheamus.
Oh, Big Show looks big. Oh,
doesn't
he looks like a big boy.
Doesn't he?
Big old boy.
Very pleased as well to see the signs appear. This is very much another Purple Aki WrestleMania.
Yes, a lot of Purple Aki in there.
The Purple Aki man, who's obviously British, has managed to get behind the commentators. So every time they cut to the commentators, he's about three rows back, you see the Purple Aki sign.
Yeah.
Perfect reference, because obviously in America, and to the majority of people in Britain and the world, it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
And you look at it and go, well, there's nothing I can see in there that sounds rude or crude. It must be fine. Wrong. And you
it's
see
racist
this
and it's problematic. Yeah.
Always exciting. Also, the sign hashtag pork. And I thought,
what was that for?
I don't know, but I thought, is this the first hashtag we've seen?
So they certainly had the big sell on hashtags in the last WrestleMania, I want to say, with... Maybe that is the first hashtag I've seen.
Could be.
Yeah.
Hashtag pork.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter came into its own like 2011, so it's kind of...
A couple of years after this, 2013. Yeah. So, but then didn't it also take a longer time to get going in America?
Yeah, but I mean, hashtags
like how they didn't pick up the mobile phone. They weren't into mobile phone texting. Texting. They don't text.
Paging.
Do
they not? What?
No.
What? Back in the day,
Americans
they
did not text. Texting right. never took off there. SMS.
That's a big shout, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a big shout. Really?
How did they send pictures of their dicks to women who didn't want to see them? Well, and then we invented Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter was invented for one reason. etc. This is very much the match where it's the stale stars versus the new ones, the up-and-comers. And they feel very, very different to the recent matches that we've seen.
Yes.
You have three men coming in, they've got something to prove, and they are elevating the people they're in the ring against.
Oh, they
look, don't want to give up their spots.
And their look is on point with the big Cav that a demilitarized police is a better police.
Yes.
This is a strong, sexy new look.
What you have here is a thing as well that should be in everyone's mind when you do a new introduction.
Yes.
And one of those things is the three men who took part in the Shield, they were a group that were protected, they were a group that were pushed, they were given a nice long run to show they were brilliant. And all three of them became legitimate main eventers in the business. They're the first people, really, to get over since Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan, I think, you know, he was far more of a crowd-based, natural rise that the WWE didn't engineer. The Shield, very, very different. Now, you can say that it didn't work brilliantly, because obviously we're at a point where when they wanted Roman Reigns to be the big guy, the Hogan, they pushed it too hard and there was a slight rejection by the audience. But at this point, you can see they're doing everything right. The Shield themselves were an idea of CM Punk. So CM Punk said, I wanted to have three guys who could act as my sort of henchmen and they'd be my security. So I can lose matches as a bad guy because of these guys. But I want them to be three really good wrestlers. And the three wrestlers he picked were Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Cassius Ohno. And Cassius Ohno is a performer called Chris Hero. He works on the independent scene. He's just been released by WWE. He is a phenomenal wrestler, worked on the indies for many, many years. And the WWE always had a slight downer on Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno, which was the name that they gave him, because he was not in great shape all the time.
Right.
He was a tall guy. He had quite a sort of, he had a muscular figure. He's a big guy. Sometimes he had quite a belly on him.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, that would be one of the reasons he would actually have his first run with NXT would come to a stop, is because Triple H told him to work out. He said, no, I'm fine. I'm a wrestler.
Yeah.
And then they let him go. He then went on the indies where he performed big, but absolutely one of the most dynamite performers in the world from about sort of 2015 to 2017. Just astonishing matches he had. So they brought him back in and then proceeded to absolutely fuck all with him. But the WWE, after they turned down Cassius Ohno, they said, no, we're going to put in our guy. And that was Roman Reigns. CM Punk always slightly bridled about their guy. You know, they put him in. Originally, they were going to come out with actual Riot Shields as well. There's a WWE merchandise account that sort of goes through the archives. And one of those is the original Shields that the Shield had. And they're also going to have roll necks. But then it was
roll necks.
I know.
Wow.
I don't want to wrestle in a fucking turtleneck
Jesus
jumper.
Christ, yeah.
And out they came. They debuted, I think, at the Survivor Series as Punk Security that would have been round about November the previous year, 2012. And they were named by the Spanish commentator, Marcelo Rodriguez, who, when they do the old, please welcome our Spanish announcers, Marcelo Rodriguez and Carlos Cabrera. He was the one who came up with the name of The Shield. They banded some other sort of nicknames around. One of them was the Hounds of Justice.
Right.
Which,
they always go too big, don't they? They always go too long and too kind of righteous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like a pack of hounds of justice. You know, I don't quite get it, but they've carried on that Hounds of Justice thing with Roman Reigns being the big dog.
Yes.
And again, it's...
He's not... He doesn't strike me as being as... The big dog, isn't there a level of... Is he heel or is he a face?
He's a face, yeah.
Right. So, like, the big dog is an arrogance. It's just an arrogance. It's what blokes in the fucking city with the, you know... fucking jackets,
yeah.
Their jackets and their shoes. So I'm a big dog on this floor.
Exactly. The sort of thing they'd have tattooed.
Yeah. So it's just for a face, it doesn't really work for me.
Slight thing, I think, where Undertaker at one point when he was doing the American Badass thing was all that, you know, come and try me. I'm the baddest dog in my yard.
Right.
You know, all that sort of thing. And I think they've sort of gone, yes, Roman Reigns, very much like that American badass. He's like a big dog. It's very strange. The three of them are very interesting. They all sort of had, two of them have a similar way in, which is Ambrose and Rollins. both make a name for themselves in the American independent circuit. So Ambrose's real name is Jonathan Good. He performs now under the name John Moxley, right. For AEW, where he's their world champion. One of the people who became sort of disenamored with the whole WWE process, didn't like being constrained. He's a funny guy, and I found out some good stuff about him. I said before that he seems like a sort of surly, slightly unknowable man. but he's described himself as being a minimalist. After he got a WWE contract offer, he just drove from his house to the performance center. All he took was a bag of clothes and the money he had in his pocket. And he just went in his decrepit car and that was it. He just left his old life behind. When he gets called up from the developmental system into WWE, he's sharing a room with a guy called Big Cass, who's another wrestler. And when he leaves, he just goes, "I've got my contract," he says to Big Cass. He says, "You can just, the stuff that I leave, can you just give it to charity or something?" And off he goes. And Cass goes into his room and he's literally got thousands of pounds worth of WWE merchandise that they've sent, all the stuff with him on it.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff with the Shield things. Yeah. Just a big pile of it. And he's just left it and he never comes back. When he signed his big contract, he then buys his own apartment.
Yeah.
And he said that he didn't ever bother putting anything in it because he wouldn't spend much time there because he was on the road. So he it's just that sort of, you don't sort of go, "Oh, I can buy a nice thing." He's just like, empty room. He's like, do you know what he's like? He's a bit like Rorschach from The Watchmen. he's got that surly sort of, you know, "What's your problem?" "Well, what do you got?" You know, all that, just empty rooms, like sort of weird, like a sort of bum Patrick Bateman.
Yes, at least he had stuff.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of Marie, he's like basically a hairy Marie Kondo. it reminds me of, there is malelivingspaces.txt, I think, on Twitter. It's basically a compendium of men on Reddit who have felt excited about the way that they've designed their little pads and their little pathetic little fucking man dungeons. and they've basically taken a picture of their fucking unlivable grief halls, and they are and put them on Reddit, and it's just malelivingspaces.txt. Check it out on Twitter, because there are some obscenely minimalist, but also quite shitty looking apartment designs that people have. Like, we're talking inflatable furniture, beanbags, gaming chairs are very de rigueur.
Yeah,
they've spent more money on the widescreen, super wide, double monitor, double graphics card, SLI configuration,
the games chair.
They've spent more on the actual nuts and bolts than they have on the desk that it sits upon. So it's on a tea chest, but this fucking $3,000 PC on top.
Since they've started doing a lot more stuff on Twitter, and especially during lockdown, things like that, I've noticed something about American houses, and that is they're not very well built, right? And like Japanese houses are made primarily out of wood and paper, right? American houses always seem to be incredibly flimsy. I mean, it always seemed like there was a little bit I was watching with one wrestler where they were trying to do some physical thing and they fall into the wall.
Right.
Now, if you fell into your wall in England, right, you'd just go, "Fuck," and I really scrape my arm against it. Whenever they touch their walls, they just go
straight through,
like in a sort
plasterboard.
Of, like a comedy sketch. I know we've talked before about the Charlie Drake sketch where he gets knocked out. He could have done with it then. But even in Britain, we go, "Let's make a wall you can go through," and you go, "Oh, okay, only put three lengths of brick inside it." But they're flimsy houses.
Yeah.
Right, so I can't remember where I was going with that.
They're always massive as well. They're always massive, always prefab from like the 70s, and they're always kind of like, "Oh, I see why they've kind of fitted that, but you've kind of not future-proofed this house so that you're all constantly going to be living with this kind of, in the walls, you'll have this weird kind of Hoover thing."
Yeah.
Hoovers up your house. Like, yeah, I see why that would have worked in the 70s, but the pump doesn't work anymore.
I was doing some work, incredibly, in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I mean, Los Angeles is WrestleMania next year.
Oh, hello.
So that's good, because I think there's a little job lined up for a bit, which is good. And one of the things that happened is I went to the house of...
Sugar Flakes are fucking tamper. I
went to the house of a Hollywood actor.
Mm.
And we watched the Oscars ceremony there. Mm. And they have a very, very nice house. You know, one of the, you know, very obviously.
This is a very, very nice house.
As you'd expect. It was okay.
Christian Bale.
The house was okay. And I just think Americans don't do houses very well. I really don't. I was in it and everyone was going, "Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, it's so..." And I was like, "It's all right."
Do you have pet groomers below you?
Yeah.
But also, it's kind of like the houses are always big anyway.
Yeah.
Like the houses are always massive. No matter where you live, if you don't live in the major cities, your house is going to be lovely. It's going to be massive.
I just thought, you know, is it is it good? How much did it actually cost to build this house? And they go, it's about 300 quid. You go, yeah, I thought it was. It's just, it looks flimsy is all I'm saying. Ambrose himself, I mean, he had
the eccentric Dean Ambrose. One of the guys.
The eccentric.
The eccentric. I don't know why it's eccentric.
Again, it's not something he really does in his performance.
No.
It's just that they know
aloof.
It. Yeah, and they sort of just go, oh, here he comes, aloof. Dean Ambrose. Absolutely fucking weird.
He drives
man.
Like a Prius in the second hand.
He looks like he stinks. He'd actually made his name really on the sort of the more violent end of the independence. Mm. So he'd done things like IWA in Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico they were big places. He actually held the tag team titles with a guy called Hade Vanson, a UK wrestler who in the last Patreon newsletter, which you can no longer read, he once had an angle where it looked like he was going to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25,
right.
That was nixed when Vince McMahon basically saw how tall he was, which was not very tall. but he held the titles with Hade Vanson, and he then took part in a lot of matches for CZW, and he did some dark matches for Ring of Honor. CZW were two things, really. They did stiff-style hard work wrestling. Hard work wrestling.
This is hard work wrestling.
We've been doing this 2.5 years. Like, what is hard work wrestling? Well, the things where, you know, it's very technical and very you know, technically gifted. I'm having trouble doing this because all I can think is CZW is also a hardcore wrestling federation.
Right.
And they do lots and lots of extremely sort of, you know, graphic. You get your barbed wire matches, your scaffold matches, your light tube matches and stuff. And he excelled at that. He was a very sort of good deathmatch wrestler. He then, when he's gone to AEW after his WWE career, he's used some of that. They had a match with him and Kenny Omega that was really sort of, you know, paying tribute to that past. Not many people have actually made the jump from places like CZW to the WWE. There is a sense that deathmatch style is still very sort of grubby and slightly sort of taints you if you've been involved in it.
But okay,
Rollins, it came from more of a Daniel Bryan background. He was a wrestler who, under the name of Tyler Black, and he signed with the WWE in 2010. Prior to that, he'd been a long-reigning Ring of Honor champion. So he was sort of very well known at that level. That's a belt that Daniel Bryan held in his career. People like Samoa Joe, they'd all come through this, you know, it was really almost like a feeder system. Once Daniel Bryan had broken down those doors of, you know, that the independents could come and that they could still be stars. Mm. They weren't just these people who could entertain 50 hardcore fans in a high school gym, but they could perform on the big stage. And actually, the way that they performed could be something that the WWE fan base would enjoy watching.
Yeah.
They began taking lots and lots of people from the same background as Daniel Bryan. So Ring of Honor, for example, I mean, largely you could, if you watch probably stuff from 10 years ago, you will be seeing a card that's made up fully of people who are main eventers or high mid-carders in WWE today.
Right.
Seth Rollins was one of those. He came out. Odd sort of fact about Seth Rollins, he seems like a really nice guy. He opened up a coffee shop of his own in Iowa, in Davenport, which
All right.
is where he's from. It's called 329 Deport. I presume that's after the address. Bit witless. They also mentioned on his Wikipedia page he's an atheist, which is the sort of thing that if you are American, they
really
will mention
yeah,
on
yeah,
your
yeah,
on your
yeah,
Wikipedia
yeah.
page. In 2013, he found out he had two siblings that he'd never met. He did a gene test on a DNA test rather on 23andMe.
Yeah,
and he found out he had a brother and a sister.
Oh, amazing!
I don't know whether they were half or they were full, but he put a photo of them holding, you know, one of them around the arm, the brother. And he said, life is a crazy, awesome thing. We're all insanely lucky to get to experience it. In a wild turn of events, I recently found out I have a brother and a sister I never knew existed.
Oh,
nice. And of
lovely.
Course, he's just recently, in the last couple of weeks, he's going to become a father for the first time with his fiancée, one Becky Lynch.
Oh.
So congratulations. I know they're big fans of WrestleMania.
He's obviously tempering that celebration. Obviously, the fact that his buckle bomb has been outlawed, apparently.
It has, yes, due to Nia Jax, I believe, who
cut her head
every time she does it. It's also the move that Seth Rollins did, and it ended Sting's in-ring career. So,
right.
Again, this seems like a move that probably we should have been looking at a while ago.
Is it just like the way that the head sort of snaps back? Because I watched a few of them, and I was like, it doesn't seem as violent as, I guess, the
I don't believe there's
bit.
Any way you can particularly protect yourself on
yeah.
it. So once you're thrown towards the thing, you can't see what you're about to hit.
Mm.
And when you do hit it, then your neck is going to move in the direction it wants to do, regardless of what you want to do with it.
Okie dokie.
So one of those things. He was also the inaugural NXT champion, and that was really one of the things that I think made them have a lot of faith in him. They were watching him on a weekly basis, you know, performing in very high profile matches. And some of his matches were certainly at the time the best matches that the whole of the WWE brand was putting on. Just quickly, this match, it's a really, really good little match.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hot. The triple man thing really works well, because when you've got a unit like the Shield, who are used to now working in loads and loads of tag teams together, they have great timing. And so you'll get bits where I think, you know, Randy Orton, how it ends is Randy Orton hits Seth Rollins with an RKO as Seth Rollins is jumping off the top. And then as Randy Orton gets up, he's speared by Roman Reigns, and then in comes Dean Ambrose for the pin. So it's just a really nice use of all three of them. It was a really unique group in that everybody knew that Roman Reigns was going to be the breakout star. But what they did was, when they finally broke them up, they had, instead of Roman Reigns, turn on the two of them. They had Seth Rollins turn on Reigns and Ambrose. And that made Seth Rollins, who at that time was sort of, if you like, the weedier member of the group, that made him into the big focus of it. And that really elevated him. And all three of them just came up and up and up.
Cool.
It's a great start. I mean, it's a really good opening match.
Yeah.
And it's an exciting thing of going, here is the future. And WrestleMania 29 is going to kick it off.
Big faces, some exciting, sexy new boys. I do like Seth Rollins' flip into the thing. He like does like a cool flip. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's really good. And cool. I think, you know, you've also got that generation of people now who, they know what WrestleMania means. And so I think with your Randy Orton's and your big shows, and Sheamus, obviously, you know, is new. He's only been around a couple of years in WrestleMania main events. He's done Daniel Bryan main events in WrestleMania's main card. He did Daniel Bryan last year. The year before that, he was Triple H. So this is his third. But for these guys, they've been in developmental for a long time, and they know that this is their big chance. And they all grab it. They grab it with six hands, apart from Dean Ambrose, who grabs it with one because he is minimalist.
Well, that has been our opener, the curtain raiser for WrestleMania at 29. We'll be back next week, same time, Thursday, with a bit more of this. If you cannot wait, though, we've got the opportunity for you to hear all of the rest of the shows on WrestleMania 29. Head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleMe. Mark, it's time for us to go now. Wrestle me, Mark.
Peter, wrestle me, Pete.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.